Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Sattertons podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
And so that's the kind of house church they had. It was an amazing, intimate time in their home. The Lord moved. I'm sure they'll share more about some of those things in their home. And it made it feel so small that so many people came. They're so special to a lot of people here. We got a lot of texts saying, hey, I wish I could be there, but I can't be there. Because we just would go to their house on Monday nights, lead worship, get in our car and drive home. Get home whenever we want.
I would try to keep you.
I know.
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's our honor to be here. When Matt asked us to come up, we got super excited. God, what do you have? What do you want to speak to this church here? And you have a great foundation, because Matt, when he came down there, and Bob and the group, when they came down there and worshiped, they brought something that we didn't have before. They brought an interlude, because when you're worshiping, when he brings worship, he brings an interlude with God, a personal worship to God. And that is key. That's key. He wasn't trying to perform. He wasn't trying to make everything just perfect, but he was interluding with God. And you have that here, and you can be very, 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 very feel special about that, because God brought him. God raised him up. God's put that in his heart to do so. And he's put people around him to do that too. And we've been blessed for years, by them coming. And, this is my wife, Darlene. We've been married 41 years. We have 3 children, 2 grandchildren. The grandchildren are going too fast. The oldest turned 15.
18.
Look at that.
Youngest.
I'm
15.
3 years behind.
Youngest 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, oldest 18.
So we've been doing house church for 30-some years. I've been saved personally for 39 to 40 years. We've been doing house church more than 3/4 of that time. The Lord said, open up your house. I gave you this house, which he did, because I didn't have money for a house. I didn't have down payment for a house. I didn't make enough money for a mortgage to pay for a house. But God gave us this. My father actually gave us his house. We still paid on, but it wasn't as high. I got a lower finance on it. And he moved to Philly and he gave us the house. And the Lord said, I want to use your house for my glory. So I want you to open the door, put on worship, and see who I send. And so we did. We didn't even advertise. People just started coming. Some weeks it would be 1 or 2, which was very seldom. But a lot of weeks was 100 or more. People would come just rushing in. We had people coming in off the street. They would hear the worship, and they would say, I want to find out what that is. And they would come walking in and knock on the door. Can we come in and worship with you?
Yeah.
Or play with you? These 3 particular guys I'm talking about, they weren't even saved. They didn't even know Jesus. But they heard the music, and they were drawn. And they came in, and they just started playing with us. You know, by the end of it, they got saved. They gave their life to the Lord. And that's what the house church was about. It was about healing, deliverance, ministry, and bringing people to the Lord.
Yes.
And for imagine doing that for 30-some years. Imagine if your house could produce that, or even your life being a part of you and who you are.
I just wanted to interject. Our house was so consecrated to God. And so in a sense, it really wasn't even our house. It was his house. But before house church ever began, we began to learn what it looked like to personally, intimately be his house. So it started personally, intimately with us, with our children, with our lifestyle, with our mindsets, like before we ever opened the door and consecrating that house to the Lord and saying, this house will be a house of prayer. It will be a house of praise, of power, of peace, and prosperity. It will be a place where the Holy Spirit loves and longs to dwell. But we said that about ourselves as well. So I just wanted to interject that.
Amen.
Honey, did you want to open in prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
After we finish the introduction, I'm almost done with
it. All right, because I know we don't have.
I know. She keeps me online.
I do. I try. Yeah.
I go offline a
he
lot.
Does.
She brings
I
me
love
back.
That.
She brings
Somewhat.
Me back a lot. So I guess we'll go ahead and open in prayer then.
Right.
Well, the other thing I said wanted to say is that in our ministry from the very beginning, I said, whatever we do, we're going to do it together. So wherever we go, we preach together, except if it's a woman's conference or a men's conference, that's a little different. But if we go, we've been to different parts of the world. We've been all through the, we're on a 50-state tour. We bought an RV. We sold our house. God wanted us to get rid of anything that we were depending on for money besides Him. And so we did. And we bought an RV. He even gave us the money for the RV. He gave us $30,000.
Yeah.
Right? Like nobody's ever given me $30,000. All my life I worked 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. And if I needed extra money, I worked a holiday. I worked overtime. I did this. I did it. I did it. I did it. God said, that's going to stop now. He says, I want you to depend on me alone. And I'm not advising this for everybody. You definitely have to hear from God on this. Because I tell you, when I looked at my finances when I retired, I said, if God ain't here, we're going to the poor farm tomorrow. You know, but he provided for us and he brought us to where we're at now. He gave us an RV. We're traveling 50 states. We've been to 28 states so far.
It's a prayer tour, too, by
yes.
the way. So we're not just, like, we have a Holy Ghost objective
yeah.
to literally get the heart of the Trinity for every place that He sends us. So we'll go a place and we'll say, like, okay, God, we're here. What's Your heart for this place? What do You want to do? What do You want us to proclaim? What do You want us to declare? What do You want to tear down? What do You want to build up? And man, it's quite the adventure.
We were going to move to Brazil,
yeah,
and work with the slave traffic ministry down there because it was a very powerful ministry. It was dealing with the poor. It was dealing with the orphans. Oh, I love the orphans, and it was dealing with the girls that are on the street, getting them off and getting them jobs and getting them out of that lifestyle. And but the Lord says, I want you to go to the nations, and I want you to, in the United States, and I want you to bring hope mm-hmm. back too, because we'd just gone through COVID, or we were going through COVID actually. And He wanted to bring, especially to the church. Did you know that over 50% of the churches in the United States have closed down during the COVID time? 50%. And the ones that are still left are struggling
yeah.
because half their membership is gone and they're not coming back. And they don't know what to do. But I'll tell you one thing they have been doing. They've been doing food drives.
Mm-hmm.
They're handing out food. They have people giving them food and they're handing it out. And that's showing the love of Christ in a practical way because people are hungry. You know, a lot of them are out of jobs. They don't have food. And God's supplying that through that. So we want to go ahead and pray.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is very anxious. She's probably on her second cup of coffee. And,
yeah, I don't even do decaf.
Oh, that's right. Well, in the natural sense. Yeah, that's right. She did give up decaf.
Right.
Not me. But anyway, we want to open up in prayer.
Thank you, Father.
We want to ask the Holy Spirit to come, open our eyes, open our hearts. To His Word, because His Word is truth. His Word is powerful. It breaks down strongholds and it builds us up, shows us who we are. We ask Holy Spirit to come today, invade us today, invade our hearts, invade our minds, release us, set us free. We were singing about that in worship this morning, being free. Set us free. We're no longer slaves to the world and the thoughts of the world, the mindsets of the world, but that we will be free, Father God, through Your word today, Lord, that we will be set free, that we can be your children, we can be your sons and daughters, and we can serve you with all of our heart, and all of our mind, and all of our soul.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So the topic today, I've used this in RV camps when we pull into there, when we invite people and we give them the word. First of all, I want to say the word is the truth. It's the only truth. Now, every one of us has come from a different part. Some of us grew up in a Christian household, but we didn't learn all that we know from that. We learned some from the world. We learned some from friends. We learned some from reading books or whatever. And what would happen is that we've gotten mindsets that are not God's word. It's not what he's saying, who we are. So the topic today is, who am I? Once you know who you are, the enemy can't tell you who you're not.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
But I know with me, when I first got saved, I had all these mindsets of what the world had limited me. They had put me down. I felt like I had no voice. I felt like I couldn't make a difference anywhere. I felt like a sinner that could never be saved. Mm. I mean, we've heard that over and over. So I want to start off today with some scriptures, and everything, go to the scriptures and apply. Check it out in scripture. Anything you hear, I don't care who it's from, check it out with scripture. Make sure it matches scripture. That way you know it's true. And then you can believe that thing. So what I'm going to do is tell you what some thoughts in general that are going around out there, and then what counteracts that thought as far as what God says. So the first one is, you say, or I say, I am unlovable. But God says, I am forever loved.
Yes.
Mm. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever had that thought where you weren't loved. God's saying you're forever loved. There's not a time he didn't love you.
Come on.
And there's nothing you can do or say that will change that. He will always love you. And the scripture is Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. And we all get caught up in that stuff. We get afraid. We say, I can't pay my mortgage. I'm going to lose my house. You know, these things through our life, we've dealt with these things. But we immediately go back to this word. If he's for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us? No one. So he's protecting us. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. But we had to claim that. You know, you can't claim it but not act on it. You know, you have to act on what you're hearing and what you're seeing. The second one, I say or have said, I am scared, but God says I am healed. Scarred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get wounded. My wife was adopted. Actually, she wasn't even adopted. She was taken in by her neighbors because her mother and father left her when she was a baby and left her at the neighbor's house. And they took her in and they took care of her. They never adopted her because it was a single woman. And back then, it was a single black woman. So back then, single black women couldn't, claim children. They wouldn't, unless they were married. And she wasn't married, and she wasn't going to get married at that time. So she just took her in and took care of her. How she got through the school system and medical, that was God. But this woman taught her how to be a lady, and she taught her the word of God. She pumped it into her morning, noon, and night. Now, it took a while to sink in because, you know, the world's out there and we learn from the world. We have to guard. We have to take every thought captive, basically. You know, when things comes in, when the world tells us something, we have to take that thought captive. We have to put it under the filter of God's word. And we have to do that every time. And it's not really that hard when you think about it, but we have to just take the time to do it. Sometimes we're in too big a rush to wait for the answer, so we just like shoot in there, and the consequences aren't really good. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. We all know what that's, you know, if you've ever had that vision, if you ever watched The Passion, that ripped my heart out. I had a hard time watching that again. It was so powerful of what he suffered for us. And he did nothing wrong. He was doing it for us. I've been asking God ever since I got saved, give me a revelation of your love. And The Passion brought that out. As a suffering that he took for me. That was my whipping he took. That was my crucifixion he took. And that just blows me away. I say I am weak, but God says that he makes me strong. How many of you have felt weak at times? Like you were like, there's nothing you can do, that life is just going to run you over. You know, God says, he arms me with strength, and he makes me my way perfect. Psalms 18:32. His word. You know, as I'm teaching this stuff, I learn so much. It becomes part of me. That's why studying the scripture and studying what God is saying in the scripture is going to improve your life too. It's not just for everybody else, but it's for you too. It's always personal. God is personal God. Ain't nothing outside his realm. He loves you so much. Did you have something to say, sweetie?
Try not to touch your chest.
Oh, am I pounding?
Yes. Yes. Here, let me.
Okay.
It's okay. I'll edit it all out.
Everything hits
the
cross.
She has this way of stopping me, but I don't know that she's stopping me.
Because I'm so gentle.
It's like she says, she'll say, oh, I got really angry. Her anger is like a gentle kiss. You know, now when I get angry, people know it, but that's coming down too. I'm becoming more like her, less loud, I guess. thank you, sweetie.
You're welcome.
Here's one. I recognize I am a sinner, but God says I am forgiven. In John, 1 John 2:12, I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. You know, sometimes we keep condemning ourselves for the same sins, you know. Just because we didn't forgive somebody one time, so the next time it comes up, well, I didn't forgive them, so how can I forgive now? Well, that's not an option. We can forgive. We were made in his likeness. And we're not here just to admire what Jesus did. We're here to become who Jesus is.
Amen.
And when we become that, we change the world. Because people see Jesus in us. They see the light. How many know, and I'm sure there's a lot in here have, when you see a person that's been in the presence of Jesus, there's a glow on them. This man here has a glow on him. What is your name anyway?
Keith,
good to meet you. Good to meet you. He has a glow all over him. And of course, Bob's always got a glow
on
him.
He's very shiny.
First met Bob, and I'm like, whoa.
He's very shiny.
Shiny. Shiny. Actually, that's the name of our RV ministry is called to shine. Because we are called to shine.
Amen.
5, I was abandoned, but God says I'm a adopted.
Yes.
I'm adopted. She is no longer an orphan because she got on her face, turned on the worship, and said, God, I'm not getting up off the floor until you tell me who I am.
Yeah.
And it was a long time. I don't know, remember how long, maybe a day and a half, maybe 2 days. But when she got off that floor, she knew who she was. She was a daughter. She was not an orphan anymore. She was a daughter. And I'll tell all of you this, because, and I tell it to a lot of people, and I don't know what everybody else was seeing, but I watched her for several months floating across the floor. Her feet wasn't, in my eyesight, she wasn't even touching the floor. And when she walked past people, they could be having a serious conversation, and she would just walk by, and their heads would snap, like, what was that? And I saw that, what God did, because she would not give up. She said, I will find out who I am. Yeah. God wants to tell you who you are. If you have any doubt about that, how amazing you are, how glorious you are, if you really want it, you get on your face and he will tell you who you are. Number six, I said I am broken, but God says he makes me whole. A lot of things will break us. Broken relationship, friendship breaking up, our boss firing us. Things like that can break us where we think, oh, somehow we deserve this or whatever. But in Colossians 2:10 says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority.
Amen.
We are complete through him. So don't look at yourselves. Look at him. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Don't look at, you know, what the world might see or say about us. It's what he says about us. And it's what, and he's in us. And he's conforming us to his image. And who, how many know he don't give up? I mean, how many in here did God have to run after you for years? He ran after me for 32 years. I was in the Navy. I was in the bars. I was drinking. I was drugs. I was all up in that stuff. And my identity was lost in the world. And God came and found me. In the middle of all of that, he came and found me and said, come, you're my son. And when he did that, I felt the love that I had never felt before. Even my parents' love, and they did love me much, but his love, when that comes in, it changes things. It don't leave you the same. You're totally different. And most of you already experienced that. If you haven't, you will. Seven, I have been rejected, but God says I am his. You belong to Christ. You know, and this is, that the world tells you that it's all about you. It's all about what's happening to you. It's all about your woes. It's all about your successes. It's all about your failures. It's all about all about you. Christ says it's not about us. It's about him. When we surrender our lives to him, totally surrender, he takes care. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will come. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is. Like when I sold my house, I said, okay, God, I'm going to go full-time ministry. You told me to retire, so I'm making fourth of my income with the same amount of bills. I said, at the end of the month, I'm minus $400, and that's before tithe, and I always pay tithe. So, like, Lord, if you don't move, I'm in trouble. And you know what? He supplied for it ever since 2014 when I retired. We've been more places and done more things in our life than we've ever done in the whole 30 some years before I met her and we got married. And then the next umpteen years, I don't know how many years it was, but he's just provided for us 2014 to what is this, 23 now. He's just provided everything. We've been to Israel twice. We've been to Ireland, which is my homeland. Greece. We love Greece. We've been to,
Brazil
twice. We've been to see our children twice, and they live in Tennessee, Texas, and Colorado. So we've done all this stuff with less income, and then he tells me to sell my house. So every week I was getting 10 brochures to refinance your house. We'll give you a lower percentage, and you can actually pay on your mortgage. You know, how many had mortgages that they never saw anything come off of it? you know, for a long time it was like that. But then God all of a sudden refinanced. I started refinancing pay to put a roof on the house, to replace a washer, dryer, or even a car. And God provided for us that whole time. And he set us up for learning how to trust him. And he did it methodically. And he did it like so that I could understand, because I'm very good with math. I've always been good at math. I aced through high school math. Math was just easy for me. So, but the kingdom math is a whole lot different than this world's math.
Amen.
And so I'm trying to figure this out. Like, how am I going to survive through all of this? And I couldn't figure it out. And so I said, well, I'm going to stop thinking about this. You know, I'm going to just give that to God, because he is the provider. He's the provider. And that's what he was showing me, that I will provide all of your needs in my riches and glory. And I'll tell you, he's blowing our minds.
Yes.
He's blowing our minds. We don't even know what's coming next.
Yes.
You know, we're excited about what's coming next. That's why we're excited about coming out here. Everything in our lives now is an adventure. Because we don't know what God's going to do. And we've been blessed with a house church. Tiffany,
thank you for letting us come.
Yeah, it was so beautiful.
I just wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
And you are almost out of time.
But you're taking my time now.
Actually, I'm not. But I love you so much. I just wanted to say, there's no better author than God. So you can entrust him to let you write your life well, better than you can imagine. That's why he's the exceedingly abundantly far above God, who can do more than you dare hope, think, ask, or can even imagine.
Amen.
So he's just a really, 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 really good writer. He's the best accountant. He's the nth degree God. He's the every jot and tittle God. So, like, mm-hmm. You can trust him.
Yes. We'll do two more, and I'll turn it over to her.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, I say I'm hopeless, but God says, because of him, I am hopeful.
Amen. Yes.
This word hope is a powerful word. Mm. He's been revealing to that it's just under love. When people have hope in their life, there's no stopping them. You know, I mean, for a long part of my life, I had no hope for what I could do, for what God could do in me. And it took a long time for me to grasp hold of my hope is in him, not in myself. It's in him through me. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. I love that one. Mm. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah.
That's when you get hope, when God gives you hope about something, all you need to do is say yes. And then it's all taken care of, whether it be finances, travel, getting away from work. I used to have a hard time getting away from work because I couldn't take a vacation. Because I was like very well dependent on. I was a manager of a food store, and it was like it needed attention. It needed my attention all the time. But there came a time when the Lord says, can you trust me to watch over that place while you're gone for 2 weeks? And I said, well, I don't think, but I'm going to try. I said, okay, I will. And I did. And I'm not expecting like it to be good when I came back. I expected it to be tore up. But when I came back, it was running just as smooth as when I left. And that was God. That was definitely God, because I've seen times when I came back when it wasn't looking pretty at all. And the last one I'm going to do, I got more, but we'll be back again sometime. I say I am purposeless, but God says, I was created with a purpose. You're all here for a purpose. You're here in this church, this small church. You're the foundation that God's building, going to build on. You're the rock he's going to build on. And it doesn't matter what you're dealing with right now. It doesn't matter about what hurts you're dealing with. God's going to heal you. He's going to make you stronger, because it's your hurts that are going to make you strong for what's coming. Because Look, we've been in the world out there, and I know some of you have been around the world. The world is in chaos out there, and they need the light. They don't have any hope for what's going on. They need a firm, they need churches to take back what the enemy has stolen from the past. You know, he's almost like put this thing around the church where we'll be safe if we stay inside this bubble. And God's saying, no, he sent his disciples out. He didn't keep them there where they were. He sent them out two by two, and he said, go get them. Go get them. Show them my love. Show them my purpose. Esther 4:14. Perhaps this is the moment for which you've been created for. How about that? How about that? There's nothing that happens that God doesn't know about. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's in everything. He's in your lives. And he led you here. He led you here for a purpose.
Yeah.
Every one of you have gifts. Every one of you have purpose. Let God bring it out of you. Don't try to manifest it. Don't try to be like Darlene or be like Bob, but be whatever God has brought you here for and work in that and let him work in it. That's good enough. Okay. Amen. I'll turn it over to this lovely woman here. I can say I love her today, but I know that tomorrow I'm going to love her even more. She's beautiful.
Ditto, ditto.
She's amazing. Her smile lights my day, and she is my helper. She falls in, she knows her strengths, but she also knows that she's my helper. And she looks at that, and she works with that. And I know that I'm her cover. And so if I see her, this is a woman got so many gifts. She's an artist, a jewelry maker, a book writer. She's got 3 books getting ready to come out. She's just an amazing woman. And she ministers. She has so many spiritual sons and daughters. I've lost count.
Me too.
They're everywhere. And she keeps in contact with all of them. And it's just, and that's what she helps me with, because I'm not much of a social person. I get on Facebook 5 minutes and I'm tripping, right? You know, that's too much information, but she is so good with that. She can communicate. And so I'm going to turn it over to her now.
Ooh, I am really excited to be here. I like to tease my husband because he and his brother are so on fire for God. And I love to just like listen to their telephone conversations. And literally, if our phone isn't plugged in to the charger, the phone will die because they cannot stop talking about the glory of the Lord. So I tease him because he gets so excited, but I love it. Like, it makes me so happy.
I'm talking 3 or 4 hours.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Oh, my goodness. So at any rate, a few weeks ago or whenever it was that Matt and Kat asked us to come, I said, Lord, what do you want to say to the people? And what I heard was that the Lord says, I want to restore your original intent, design, and purpose, your original DNA, your original frequency. So like long before you were ever knit together in your mother's womb, God was intimately acquainted with all your ways, your personalities, your talents, your gifts, your dispositions, what you would like, what you wouldn't like, just how you carry yourself, how you would look. When you were a twinkle in his eye, you had the breath and the frequency of God in you. And when you came into this world, there was a purpose and a design, like Roy was saying. And so many things can come and happen and just sort of disrupt all of that, right? Our own thoughts, what people say about us, things that happen to us. But whatever happens doesn't define who we are. In Christ, there is always victory. There's always a good outcome. If it's not good yet, he's not done. You can trust him. So I want to start off with the scripture. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forever. It's Song of Psalms 8:6. It's in the Passion Translation. This living, consuming flame will seal you as a prisoner of my love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave and all-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. There's nothing about you that God does not love. So my question to you is, are you loving yourself the way Jesus loves you? And you probably aren't yet. But for every moment you give it your all to love yourself the way Jesus loves you, it's an invitation into his heart. It's an invitation into what he thinks about you. It's an invitation into what the angels of God are discussing around the throne about who you are, about how astounded they are because they see from heaven's point of view who you are. So every chance, every moment that you begin to get that discovery, wow, it's earth changing. So then you get to get that love for you. And then you get to love the person next to you the way that Jesus would love them. And that's what's going to change the world. That is what is going to transform your life and the lives of the people around you. You can literally, what's a famous store around here that you guys go to? Okay, Walmart. We call it Wally World. You can walk into Wally World and totally change the whole atmosphere when you begin to get the revelation of the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of the love that God has for you. And then you get to give it away. And that's where revival begins. So some people in this room, I mean, you could go anywhere, right? There's hurt. There's brokenness where we've not been loved by others the way that the Trinity would love us. Ways that were unjust, ways that were painful, ways that were traumatic. Many times we are really not good at loving ourselves. We're not good at saying good things about ourselves. Our words and our thoughts oftentimes are not lining up with truth. And what sets us free, right? It's truth, his truth. So in that way, sometimes it's not easy to love other people. But our God is love, and the heart of God is always ever burning for us. It's the fire. It's the light that's never going to go out. It's never going to grow dim. It's not going to waver. Pardon me. It's not going to flicker. Our bridegroom lover, he's safe. He's stable. He's steadfast. He's secure, and he's immovable. But guess what? So are you. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in love. We're strong pillars of glory in his temple, even if you don't feel like it. Just because you don't feel like it doesn't make it not true. We are all in a glorious state of becoming beautiful becomings, glorious, majestic brides with unquenchable fire in our bellies. His very fire is in your DNA, right? His glory is in your DNA. Did you know that? I'm going to break scientific on you for a minute. Did you know that our very cells have songs? So when there's peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost, when there's forgiveness, when your body is healthy, it's the clarity. If you think of like Waterford Crystal and just ping, how clear that sound is, right? That's what our cells sound like. But when there's unforgiveness and bitterness and self-hatred and unhealthiness and just stuff like that, there's a dissonance in the cells. Every human being on the planet has this protein cell. It's called laminin. Some of you may or may not be familiar with it, but it's in the shape of a cross. So whether you're saved or unsaved, young, old, doesn't matter. Every human being on the planet has it. If you didn't have it, you couldn't sit in this chair. You could not cross your legs. You could not cross your arms. You couldn't do this. You know, you just couldn't do anything. So every human being on the planet is held together by the power of the cross. Every human. Did you know that you have light and gold in your blood? So anytime you're feeling like you're not valuable, I'm not going to give all the scientific numbers because I might even get them wrong because I'm not a mathematician like Roy. But let's just say, even on a scientific level, you're valuable, okay? We have iron too. Iron is strong. So we have strength. Every human has strength. We're absolutely amazing beings, and we are wonderfully and fearfully made. There's not a person in this room that's not wonderfully and fearfully made. Not one. The God who loves us has dreams for us. Roy talked about purpose. Did you know that God had a dream, and he chose to wrap your body around that dream? Yeah.
Lou Engle said that.
He did.
If you know him.
He's filled us to the place of overflow with divine wisdom and power, his passion and compassion. His love is all-consuming. He fills every nook and cranny. If you want a visual, I like visuals because I'm visual. Think about a Thomas English muffin, right? And you put butter on it, right? And maybe like me, you put some honey on it too. Revelation. Butter is the oil. He's the bread of life. I don't know. Maybe I'm hungry. I'm not sure. But anyway, you think about what happens, right, to that hot English muffin. That butter gets in like every nook and cranny, right? And the honey just drips in. And when you eat it, it's saturated. That's us. Yeah, he gets in. Okay, think about this bottle of water right here. You can see through this bottle, right? But if I were to take like red food coloring or something like that and just put in some drops, do you think I could get the color out once I put it in? No. I'm not a magician. I could not do it. Neither can you get out his love. It is impossible. All you're trying, you'll never do it. So you might as well just accept the fact that on your best day, you're loved massively. And on your worst day, which absolutely actually isn't accurately possible because in God, there are no worst days. So you just couldn't do it, right? We get to represent that love, not represent. We get to represent it. We get to represent that love to a lost and dying nation, to a lost and dying world. We get to show the world that's absolutely groaning and aching to know the risen King, even if they may act like they're not. He never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never wanders away from his work in and through us. And the holy fire, it comes in, it burns up all the dross and toxicity until we all shine with his radiance. Okay, same bottle of water. I'm thirsty. I know this is water, but it's clear, so we're married. I'm gonna just do this. If you went outside and got some dirt and put it in this water, I guarantee you I would not drink it. So let us not have dirt in our living water. Let's get the toxicity out, right? Nobody needs that, especially you. I mean, we don't need it. And the world doesn't need it either. I didn't mean to say that in a bad way. It's all about us shining with his radiance. So he comes with his fiery loves, and he fills us with everything that he is. He says, this is Psalms 81:16. I will feed you with my spiritual bread. You will feast and be satisfied with me, feeding on my revelation like honey dripping from the cliffs of the high place. The sons and daughters consumed with the fire of God needs the word of God more than drink or food. The word of God is alive, and it is through us. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Oh, I like the scripture. Sorry, I got excited. I'm not sorry. Jeremiah 29b in King James Version says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary from holding it back. In fact, I could not. That is the passion that God wants to grip our hearts with. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word a fire that consumes all and that can endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the most stubborn rock in pieces. There was a friend of mine. she was really struggling. She was really like real mad about some stuff. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you have to help me. You have to help me. So I said, Holy Spirit, help me. And it was like love and the word, love and the word, love and the word, love and the word. I just kept feeding her love word sandwiches like peanut butter and jelly. Love and the word, love and the word. And you know what? It broke down all the dividing words and thoughts and feelings and emotions that she was having. It took a couple of days, but see, love just never fails, okay? So it was love and the word, love and the word, and it was like a hammer, and it broke that stubborn rock into pieces until all she could see, instead of the other stuff, was all she could see was him, which is our purpose in life. Let us see him, and then let us look through his lens, and let us bring that into the earth. My thoughts about mercy are not like your thoughts, he says, and my ways are different from yours. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Isaiah, let's see. I don't think that was Isaiah, actually. So, my husband talked about who you are. And I want to just talk for a minute about who he wants to be for you. And actually ask yourself the question, God, I am in this season right now. Who do you want to be for me in this season that maybe you could not be for me in any other season? Who do you want to be? Like, I had this picture in my mind yesterday when I was actually praying for you guys. And some of you are so used to putting your hand to the plow, and that's good. He tells us to do that. But then sometimes you forget to open your hands, right? Open your hands to receive. Open your hands. Let things go. What things are we holding on to that aren't even ours? Burdens and weights that don't belong to us. If we have a care, let us become the best fishermen in the world to learn how to cast. You know, cast that thing off if it's not yours. He says, come unto me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest is not just something you do, but rest is a heart attitude that says, I am safe in God, my Father, who's never done me wrong. I'm safe in his love. I'm safe in his truth. I'm safe in his heart and passion and desire for me. So, who does God want to be for you in this season? He's Elohim. He's the strong creator God. He's Adonai. He is the master of all. He is El Elyon, the most high God. He is El Emunah, the faithful God. Elohim Mashish Lanu, God our refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people, and pour your hearts out to him. For God, Elohim, is our refuge. Psalm 62:8. Speak the word of God. If you have no words, that is okay, because the word of God is not going to return void. And I want to say something actually about that. You are the word sent from heaven. You are. And you're going to accomplish what he sent you to do. You are. You're not going to return void. See, Jesus deserves the fullness of his reward in our life, right? And when we came into this earth, into this world, we came pure and holy and clean and washed and just pure from heaven. I mean, if there's any young mamas in the room or grandmamas, you know, when you smell that newborn baby, it's just the sweet. I'd say they should bottle that fragrance. You know, they came straight from heaven. Well, Jesus kind of deserves we should come back that way with the fragrance of heaven in our last moments, in our last days, every day giving him glory. He's worth it. We sang about it. I think you believe it. I know I do. And I think you do too. All right, 2 more minutes, 3 maybe. you are a word sent down from heaven. You will do what he sent you to do. Believe that. The mission or assignment will be complete. We speak victory because God is faithful. I want to say one more thing about like the season we're in. This is the decade of pay. In September, we'll be 5 years in, I think. Pay means to speak forth with the mouth to declare. It's not that you couldn't always do it and it didn't always have power. The word always has power. But there's an extra grace in this decade. And the enemy of our soul tried to put us off our game because it started in 2019, the decade of pay. What came in 2020 was world chaos, right? But we as Christians did not do so great at declaring what heaven was saying. So we have 5 more years plus a couple of months to do better. This is the year of recompense. It'll be up in September on Rosh Hashanah. Recompense is to have ransomed back everything that was lost, stolen, foolishly given away, whatever. What do you want to see the Lord recompense in your life? What has been lost or stolen that you want back? And when we start to do the things of God in the seasons and times of God, we get to see kingdom results. So I've asked a few questions. Hold them in your heart and then talk to Papa about it. My closing statement. Herein our love is made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We become love, we become grace, we become shalom. Shalom is the absence of agitation and discord. It is wholeness, it is completeness. And it is authority over chaos. You become wisdom, mercy, might. We shall not want. Men and women of God on fire walk in confident assurance of all that he is and all that you are becoming. So thank you for listening. God bless you.
Can I add one more thing to the end? This is for you guys. You know, your family. God's making you family. He's put every one of you are here for a purpose. You're filling a slot. You're here for a purpose. You might not have the same gifts, but God is going to bring all of them together. Your family. You're, like I said in the beginning, you're the foundation of this church. And in that, we have to see each other as family.
Yeah.
Therein, we have to forgive. We have to be kind. We have to be slow to anger and quick to love.
Amen.
You know, and God will do that in us if we decide that's what we want to do. Everyone in you here are here for a purpose, like I said before. It's a reason you're here. He's building something here. He's making something firm that's going to last for centuries. You're the floor of the next generation.
Amen. Yes.
And God wants to build on that. And in that, there has to be the number one thing is forgiveness. Number one thing. How many in here love Jesus? Everybody will raise their hand, I'm pretty sure. Well, what the Lord showed me was that unforgiveness, when I didn't forgive somebody and I was taking the sword because I was using the word to slash them, right? You've been bad, so you will bleed, right? And the Lord says, every time you swing that sword to try to hurt them or unforgiving is hurting, when you swing that sword, Jesus is jumping in front of that and taking that cut. And that wrecked me. And any hint of unforgiveness that I had into me, I gave it to him. And he can help us with that, so I want to leave you with that.
Amen. I just want to, we're going to do two different things. First is for those of you that have to go or want to hang out, feel free to hang out. Anybody that wants personal prayer ministry, you guys are available for at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move into the prayer room. It's not one at a time. Just go into the prayer room. you know? And so we're going to have them pray for everybody, and then we'll move into that time. It's okay to be out here. I also have to announce something. I'm sorry.
No.
So today is everybody's birthday, basically. Yeah, I know. It's one of my children's. Somebody's birthday was Wednesday. Somebody's birthday is Tuesday. Somebody's birthday is 9 days away. I'm not telling you who. Just say happy birthday to everybody. And that said, we also have cake. So I'm sure people will inform you. But just greet everybody with a happy birthday. Actually, I'm going to have you guys pray. Bless the people. Bless the house. And then I'll just quick pray and dismiss.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, we just declare you are overwhelmingly good. You are everything that we need. You are all in all. I thank you, Lord, for every member of this house being hidden under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty, that you are the refuge, that you are the strong tower, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are righteousness, that you are holy. I pray, Father, for everyone in the sound of my voice, just a fresh baptism of your love, a fresh baptism of fire, yes, Lord, a fresh awareness of the wonder of who you are and who they are in you and who they are becoming. I pray, Lord, that there would be weeks after this day, wave after wave after wave after wave of liquid love crashing in on each person, encounter after encounter after encounter, even in the night watches, dreams and visions of your kingdom, the fullness of shalom filling their person, filling their homes, filling their offices, filling their cars, the fullness of shalom following them every place that they go. I thank you, Lord, that they will be in good health and prosper even as their soul prospers, Lord. I thank you and I declare fat, prosperous souls in this house for your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, that there is no scarcity and there is no lack in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for life, health, and happiness, joy that comes from knowing you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that each person would have the ability to let you quiet them in your love. And I thank you that you rejoice over each one with singing. So I pray, Lord, outrageous blessings. Mm-hmm. Outrageous blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the leadership of this house. I ask that the spirit of wisdom, counsel, and might would attend them in all of their ways, in all of their doings. I thank you that each member of this house hears the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and turns not from the right nor to the left. I thank you, Lord, for every birthday represented by this month. Lord, I thank you for just a fresh immersion in the reality of who you have said that they are from the very beginning, and the ability and the grace to walk that out for your glory. I thank you right now for signs, wonders, and miracles following all those who believe in this house. And I thank you that everyone in this house believes. So I thank you for the signs and the wonders following. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Lord, for great grace in the magnificent name of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I just pray unity over this house, everyone here. That unity would come in and grip you. And the real meaning of unity, that you would see, that have the same vision and look at each other as part of that, the hand being the hand, the ear being the ear, the eye being the eye, that each one of you would see your place and you would be able to grasp that, what God has for you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking away. I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping.